And this morning, we also heard a live cross to Wellington Square for a special outside broadcast of Modich Mag for Sorry Day. Jim Morrison was in the studio early this week, speaking to a number of Indigenous women from the Southwest, asking for their thoughts on Sorry Day and what it means to them.
Glenda.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Jim.
The Sorry Day was the handing down of the Bring Them Home report, which is now 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What is your thinking now? What are your thoughts on Sorry Day?
Well, I don't. A lot hasn't changed.
No.
No, it hasn't changed. It still needs to be acknowledged and changes for the better for our people and wherever they may be. And that, yeah, instead of, you know, it's, what, nearly 200 years here and we're in first settlement country here since colonisation. And, yeah, there's a lot more that can be done here and wherever in Australia. Yeah, I just want to say, you know, when you look at the 8 to 10 women that got into Parliament, you know, that's a big change. So those kind of things, that's what we need to see more of that. And
good
men, you know.
Good on you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time, Glenda.
Hey, Jim, how are you, bud?
Thanks for being part of Modich Mag on RTRFM, Olivia. What do you think about Sorry Day?
Yeah, for me, Jim, I think it's important. I mean, we've still got that ongoing trauma. And, you know, sadly, that needs to be dealt with. And we've got the ripple effect right through our community. You know, that's, yeah. Going back to your recommendations that were put forward, you know, if we can get, well, you guys need to continue to make sure that you know, we actually deal with some of those things, because by the time we're gone, there's going to be no one else to carry the torch type thing, you know?
Good afternoon. We've got Marg Bolton all the way from the Southwest. Marg, what are your thoughts on Sorry Day?
Well, it's good that it was acknowledged, but it's also, you know, we've got a lot of catch-up to do.
We do. Now, remember, there's an Apology Day and Sorry Day. Sorry Day is the anniversary of the handing down the Bringing Them Home report.
Yeah.
So you reckon there's a lot more work to do and we need to be addressing the recommendations a bit better. The government need to be acknowledging and implementing the recommendations. Is that your thoughts?
That's true.
Yeah. And do you think a lot of people in your region have been impacted by being removed?
Yeah. And that carries on down to the younger generation as well.
It does, Mark. Really appreciate your time.
Hello.
Hello, Alira.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Today is Sorry Day, the 26th of May. What do you think of Sorry Day?
I think Sorry Day is a time to reflect back to the report and for us to look at the recommendations and how we can look at that and move forward and speak the truth of what happened.
Very good. Hello, thank you so much for being on the program.
Hello, I'm here.
Hello, Fiona. We've got Fiona Whittaker from the Southwest.
Yes.
This today is Sorry Day. And what do you think of Sorry Day now? It was a handing down of the report. It's 25 years ago that the Bring Them Home report was tabled. Fiona, what's your thoughts on Sorry Day this day?
I think it's just a chance to look back on the past and recognise things that had happened and how we can move forward. So it has been a while, and yeah, like you said, it's been, 25 years, and there's still a lot of gaps, especially in health as well, how we can work towards closing that gap and work together as well.
Very good.
Really important. Yeah.
Well, I've got a group of women down in the Southwest talking to me, Fiona Whittaker. Thank you for your time, Fiona. I really appreciate you ladies having a talk to me on Modich Mag RTRFM. Thank you.
No worries.
NAIDOC Week kicks off on Sunday 3rd of July, but entries for the NAIDOC Awards close tomorrow. Jim caught up with Michelle Sultan, a member of the NAIDOC committee, to explain how people can apply and get recognised by their community.
Good afternoon, Michelle Sultan.
Good afternoon, Jim. How are you?
I'm good, Michelle. Welcome to Mortgage Mag on RTR-FM. Tell me, who are you mobbing, where you're from?
So I'm a Noongar Yok. My dad's Balladong and Nutchi, so up in the Wheatbelt areas, around Meriden and Killaburra and all those areas. And my mum's Wajak and Ewart. So up along the coastal areas, yeah.
Oh, thank you for that, for giving a little bit of perspective to our listeners here on RTR-FM and Noongar Radio. Michelle, welcome to the show. You've been involved in NAIDOC, the National Aboriginal and Islander Day of Observance, and or the Aboriginal Day or Aboriginal Week. How long have you been involved in NAIDOC, Michelle?
So I've been on the NAIDOC committee for around about 7 years now. I live out in Rockingham, so I didn't used to sort of get involved prior to that. I'd go along to maybe one or two events and ended up getting involved in helping out, and have been there ever since.
Well, good-o. So NAIDOC this year, I guess, will be as busy as ever given the COVID challenges. But tell us about the NAIDOC Awards and what stage are you at with the awards? I see you've just called for nominations, haven't you?
Yes, so this week is our last week. We actually were meant to close on Monday, the nominations, but we've decided to go until Friday this week. So anybody out there wanting to put in a nomination, you've still got some time to do that.
Good.
Yeah, so we have 14 awards to present on the night. So they're the usual elder awards, business, program. So lots of different awards there. If anybody's wanting any information around it, they can head to the NAIDOC Perth website.
Good.
And maybe download a copy of the nomination form.
Excellent. So NAIDOC Perth website. So it's 14 awards. That's a lot of awards to go through. So there'll be Elder of the Year, which is male and or female.
Yes.
What is it, community person or academics? Or just tell us a few more of the awards that people can nominate for.
So definitely we've got the Elders. We've got the community person. There's a business award. There's youth awards. So we have about two awards that sort of cover the youth area, and it's not only the winner who gets to go away with something. We've also got little trophies and gifts and that for the runner-ups as well. Who else have we got? This year we've had a really new award. So this one is for nursing and midwifery, and it applies right across the state. So any Aboriginal person working in nursing and midwifery can be nominated for that award. Just thinking of the other awards now. We've got Artist of the Year, so that it's not just about visual arts. It's a whole category in there. You've got your performance. If you're a singer, you can be nominated for that. So quite a lot of a broad area there in terms of art. We've also got the Education Award, which covers anybody who's studying or has just recently finished studying. If they've done really well, please nominate them to be selected to go into selection for that award.
Well, thank you for that. Michelle Sultan is our guest today on Mortgage Mag on RTR-FM 92.1 and Noongar Radio. Michelle, okay, so people are nominated and it will close this Friday, the 28th of May. What happens then? When do you make a selection? I guess it'll be very busy time for the judges, which is the NAIDOC Perth Committee. We'll judge each of those categories, yeah?
Yes, so we'll get together as a group and we'll go through and each one of us will do a ranking, and then what happens is all the scores are added up and then we start talking about, okay, so, these are the two finalists, and the winner will also come out at that stage. So we'll have a bit of undercover work, trying not to let everyone know.
Which might be a bit hard. Yeah, thanks, Michelle.
Family.
Yeah. So when the awards night is held, what, later in June, I guess, given the awards close this week. So when's the event where people will be announced different category awards?
Okay, so that'll be Friday. Sorry, it's actually Saturday this year. So Saturday the 25th of June. That's when all the winners will be announced. We invite the two finalists to come along on the night, and if family are wanting to come with finalists, tickets are $60 each. So they'll be available a little bit later, maybe about two weeks' time. Each finalist can bring two other people with them, so they'll have two extra free tickets. So if they would like to bring someone with them on the night, they can do that. It's a really good night. We'll be having performers there, dancers, singers. It's a three-course meal, so definitely, it could be a long night, but...
Nice.
It is a good night.
So the awards night is on the 26th of June. I think that's what you said.
25th?
25.
Yep. Okay.
So it'll be held where?
It'll be held out at the Astral Rooms at Crown. So if you know where the box office is at Crown, it's just the rooms on the side of that.
There you go. Well,
so yeah.
Thank you. Michelle Sultan, a member of the NAIDOC Perth Committee, and NAIDOC Perth Committee always work very hard every year to bring activities and the ball, etc., etc. The opening, is the opening going to be held down at Wellington Square, or where will that be held?
That'll be at Supreme Court Gardens. And that's on, I think it's Sunday the 4th of July.
Good. Look, we might bring you back. I think we'll bring you back and talk some more about NAIDOC. Today was really about the urgency for yourself and getting the nominees in by the 28th of May for all of those categories. So, Michelle, appreciate your time. And people who, if they want to make some inquiries, they would go to the NAIDOC Perth website to look at those categories and get their nominations in.
Yes, definitely. And there's some photos up there of Blushies winners as well, if they want to have a look at those. So definitely get the nominations in, and we'll take it from there.
Okay. Michelle, appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on to the program and talking about the Perth NAIDOC Awards. I appreciate your time. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you, Jim.
Alec Morgan is a multi-award-winning filmmaker with productions that have screened over 50 film festivals, in cinemas and on television. His landmark production, Lousy Little Sixpence, exposed the story of the Stolen Generations and Admissions Impossible that told the secret history of the White Australia policy, and many more amazing films and documentaries. Today, we're focusing on his upcoming collaboration with Yorta Yorta Man, performance artist and opera singer Tariki Onus on A Blaze, a feature documentary about the true story of the first Indigenous filmmaker, William or Bill Onus. And we are joined by none other than Alec Morgan today. Good morning, Alec. How are you?
I'm good, Charlene. How are you? It's great to be here.
Oh, thank you. I'm good, thanks as well. So to kick the interview off, I just thought I'd ask, what made you want to capture Tariki's story about William Onus?
Well, Bill Onus is someone I'd known for a number of years. Going way back, with Lousy Little Sixpence, which you read out about, was also included a story of the people in particularly Victoria who were fighting against their children being taken away. And Bill Onus was an activist then. I kind of knew about Bill back then, but recently, only a few years ago, I was asked by someone in the National Film and Sound Archives to have a look at a piece of footage that had been in the vaults and just discovered had been there for a number of years and no one knew where it came from and it had no sound. And they asked me to have a look at it because it had a number of Aboriginal people in it. And I looked at it and there was Bill Onus popping up a few times and his brother Eric, who I knew visually, and some other people. And so I was really intrigued by that and other material in that footage. It was about 9.5 minutes long and looked like it was made in the 1940s. So I contacted Tara Key, who I knew about but I didn't know, who's in Melbourne, I'm in Sydney. Mm-hmm. And he said, his father, Len, said that Bill had made films but in the 1940s, but they had burnt up in a caravan fire. And there were rumours that maybe one or two were still out there somewhere. So I took it down and showed him, and he had a look at it. Nelly fell off his chair because there was another relative strutting down the street of inner city Melbourne and other people he saw. So from that moment, we just thought, this is so intriguing. We'll make a documentary about it. So that all began the process about 6 years ago. Over 6 years ago now, to make a blaze.
Wow, that's amazing. And it kind of ties into my next question. So your previous documentaries and films highlight Indigenous history. What do you hope to portray with that particular aspect of history?
In a blaze, you mean? Or
in
overall?
General, overall?
Oh, okay. Oh, that's a good question. I mean, it was very clear even way back with Lousy Little Sixpence, and I've worked with Essie Coffey a couple of years before that on my survival as an Aboriginal. And our intention was at that time that there was just, at that time, there was nothing that you could learn about Aboriginal history, particularly in the 20th century. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was just appalling that the lack of knowledge and something like Stolen Generation, which I learned from working within AC's community in New South Wales. And so it was really about putting, you know, into film, particularly that story, because it was totally outside of Indigenous communities. The story of being taken away. The word didn't exist, and there was a whole silence around Australian history, and there still is.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was a hard film to make. This was difficult to get the funding, and there's still enormous resistance to getting true stories out there. And thank you to Western Australia for relieving us of a government who was responsible for really, quite hammering the film industry. So films like, you know, Bill's film took a lot of work to get the money to make. They're not cheap, and you know, great supporters, thankfully for great supporters who actually got out there, and after we're thrown out of every funding body, we made a turnaround and got it made.
So I mean
the overall reason, you can see today now that there's a new government and there's the idea of a possibility and distinct possibility of being a referendum around the issue of Indigenous representation in federal parliament.
Yeah.
And so we see what we do, and I've always seen it this way, that in order to make judgments such as that, we need to have knowledge of the past. Mm. We need to know where it comes from and why is it there and why is it important to have that representation. And what is lacking is knowledge of that past. And so we see what we do as bringing knowledge to the past so people can make judgments, about the present. And we'll see soon with the coming up of the referendum, people need to know about it. There's still an amazing lack of knowledge about the past. And one of the things which connects us to Western Australia is a very strong element of the film, which we found in 9.5 minute piece of film, there was this, the most intriguing part was this piece of theatre, a play was put on, and we had no idea what it was about, but it had Aboriginal people, and Eric Onus was involved, Bill was as an actor, and Bill was involved, and well, in visually we could see he was involved in play. And what it turned out to be, it had a scene where Eric and another Aboriginal woman were chained up by a white stockman, and we thought, what is this? Made in 1940s, we'd never heard anything. And we discovered it was a play that Bill put on in Melbourne to support the very important strike that occurred in the Pilbara with Aboriginal stock workers and families walked off in a major walk-off in May 1946. And Bill had put on this play in August 1946 to hopefully to get the film into cinemas around the country to give publicity to the strike because, you know, they didn't have much money. So the film disappeared shortly after that. And in Blaze, it tries to investigate, you know, who was responsible for its disappearance before it was released in the cinema. So that strike in the Pilbara plays a major role in the film. We actually went over to the Pilbara and interviewed descendants of the strikers and their stories.
Yeah.
And in fact, at the end of the Blaze, Cherokee takes the film back to Warralong, which was descendants of the strikers, and screens the piece of footage that Bill had intended them to see over 70 years ago. So it completes that circle. So it was, yeah, 9.5 minutes film, which we discovered, and you know, you see in the Blaze just how important just the fragment of film can be historically.
Yeah,
to have that footage. So it was an incredible journey making the film.
It does sound like it was definitely. It's so important to acknowledge the past, and. What message did you want viewers to take away from this film, and what impact do you wish for it to make?
That's a great question because that's something that's, you know, when you're making a film, it's very present. There's too much historically said that, you know, things happened and, you know, there's a kind of suggestion that the changes that occurred and benefits given to Aboriginal people were given by white people, you know, out of an enlightenment. What my films try to show is that, no, if the white laws, and particularly, you know, in Western Australia, where they're pretty brutal, Aboriginal people couldn't stay in Perth after dark until, you know, not so long ago. These state laws intended that they would break up Aboriginal communities, that today we would have no Aboriginal language, there'd be no Aboriginal culture. And what we've tried to show in this film and even back in Loud Little Sixpence is no, it was the resistance by Aboriginal people to those laws that was key to the fact that those laws collapsed. And that's to show that the resistance has brought about a situation today where you can see, you know, wonderful Indigenous filmmakers, we have the beautiful paintings and the artwork. Imagine Australia without all that beautiful Indigenous artwork and sculptures and music and film. That would not exist if the white laws continued. That was the aim of the laws. It's spelled out in the laws. So mine has been to educate in a way that you need to look at the other side of the picture. And those people who, like Bill was just one fighter, but many people of those old fighters gave their whole lives to fighting for equality and justice. And so it's really a celebration in a way of them and a recognition of them for what they did, and particularly the Pilbara strike in 1946 and Bill's work over in Melbourne, how important that was historically.
For sure. What do you think the future of filmmaking will be for capturing Indigenous stories like this one, like Bill's?
Oh, well, there's many. I was just saying the other day, Indigenous filmmaker asked, you know, certain things weren't in the film. And, you know, a film you only can put so much in, there's so many stories yet to be told. Mm. You know, and it has been very difficult, particularly for documentary. You know, even the ABC, you know, which wanted to pick up a blaze and put some money into it, couldn't because they were so hammered by the previous government. Yeah. So, you know, financially they were setbacks. So hopefully the future will be much brighter for these kind of stories. It was certainly tough during the last decade with the government that's just gone. Thanks to Western Australia. It's funny to say that, you know, Western Australia are our heroes over here on the east for rescuing us from those people. I mean, in New South Wales, we've still got them. But, yes, it's something that possibly the public doesn't know, how much damage they did to film and television industry here. People were amazed that we actually got the film finished. And that's enormous credit to the people like the producer Tom Zabricki and many other people who believed in Bill's story and wanted to see it told, that just kept fighting until we got the funds. And we used to say, well, if we have a setback, what would Bill do? And we'd say, well, he'd just pick himself up and keep on going. So we did that as well. So now it's opening in Perth today. The Lunar at Leederville, is it? Leederville?
Yes.
No, we're doing a Q&A tonight on Zoom. So it's opening in Perth today.
Yeah.
26th of May, which is fabulous. So it's finished and out there where it should be. And now the ABC has picked it up as well. So,
wow.
You know, things have done a big turn. Almost we heard about the ABC and everything else when the government changed. So there's some kind of justice, you know, poetic justice in that.
For sure.
But, yeah. It was a terrific film to work on too, you know, to learn and to know that, you know, we could bring that history to the public. That was our drive, really, to bring the story out and get it seen by people.
No.